Father, I thank you again for the life of Daniel. I'm looking forward, Lord, to summing up his wonderful character qualities, his godliness that any of us can materialize and develop in our character. He chose the right way, and I thank you for that. And I pray that now, as we get into something rather personal, of a lesson, that you might speak to our hearts, that you would be our teacher and our guide. And we'll just give you all the praise for what you're going to do, Lord, because this study has been yours and you've taught us all, and we're grateful for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Verse 7, then I heard the man clothed in linen who was above the waters of the river, when he held up his right hand and his left hand to heaven and swore by him who lives forever, that it shall be for a time, times, and half a time, which we've studied. And when the power of the holy people has been completed, no, it doesn't say that, who has been completely shattered, all these things shall be finished. Wow. What would happen to shatter or break Israel? That is a good question. And but they were surrounded, and they've been surrounded many a time. Even today, they're surrounded by Muslims, Muslim countries. And you wonder just how long it's going to be. And so they had no way out unless God came and delivered them. And he had to come and rescue them. If he didn't, they'd be through as a nation. God brought it about to bring pressure on Israel. Ever had a little pressure in your life? And then you say, oh, I better look at that. Would they come to faith, though? Would they trust the Lord? It'd be real easy to just bypass it. And but no, they were desperate. You know, I was like that once. I was dragged to Bible study. This lady insisted that I go, and she's parked in front of my house. And all I had were kids at home, so there was no chance I could possibly go. And finally, the third time, my husband said, you better go or she'll keep bothering you. But my mother had said, whatever you do, don't ever go to a Baptist church. She said, they're so plain. They don't have any decorations. So, like that's important. But I was broken inside. I felt shattered like Israel. I was pregnant with my sixth child, and I didn't know what to do with the other five. So I had all kinds of questions. And as I asked people in my religious faith this question and that question, I kept getting different answers. And that bothered me a lot. So, but did you notice in your lesson today that's what Daniel did? He asked questions. That is so important that you do that. Of course, I had some really whippy questions, but nobody put me down, and nobody made me feel small. It seemed like in my religion, I had all commands and nothing to explain anything. So that even stirred more questions. Did I see what Daniel did? Yeah, he asked questions. That just stood out to me. And after I had been going to this Bible study, they were studying the Gospel of John, I began to get some answers. And but then those stirred up other questions. You know, do I trust my religion or do I trust the Word of God? Where do I put my trust? Who am I going to believe? After my sixth one was born, I had the flu, and I had delivered her with 103 fever, and I wasn't doing too well. But there was a group of people praying for me back at that Bible study. And I knew that when fall came around, I had to go back. I just had to. Only problem was when I went back, they were studying the minor prophets, and I had no idea who they were. You have to remember that at 31, I had never opened a Bible. And we didn't even have a Bible in our home growing up. And so I didn't know anything about anything. And I remember asking the question about the Psalms and Job and a few other things. And, they never put me down, never laughed at me. I laugh at myself now. How could I be so dumb? Anyway, there was a lot of writing on it at the time. I didn't know. I didn't have a Bible, so I had to go down to the Bible bookstore in Hayward. I think it was on B Street. It was just a little slot. And I went in and said, I want the cheapest Bible you've got.
It was a Dearborn.
Yeah. My question didn't bother me a bit because I knew I had children. I didn't have any money. And I said, I'm in this Bible study, and I'm not going to last long. They were very good with me. Very good. She said, if I sold you the cheapest Bible, it wouldn't hold together. Because once the binding goes, like this one, pretty soon it becomes loose leaf. That's part of my concordance. Plus, I got my Corvette in here. Yeah, I do. Judy gave me that. Judy Fabris. I'll never take it out. It's getting a little shabby, though. Anyway, you see how spiritual I am? So, they sold me a $5 one, which to me was a lot of money. But I still had my questions. I wondered about my first husband. He was killed overseas, and he wasn't a Christian. So where was he? That was a question I had. My mother was a severe alcoholic, bleeding to death eventually. And what about her? And then my biggest question was, I thank God I asked the right person on this one. I said, where does Jesus claim to be God? That was so important for me to know because I thought all these people might be following somebody they shouldn't be following. Maybe he never claimed to be God. Besides, his mother had all these powers. So, but if he was God, I was in trouble. So where do you take your questions? This is why I've always had a question box, whether I taught at Redwood High School or here or there or yon. I've always had a question box because I would grieve over the fact that you came with questions and didn't get them answered. That would make me feel really bad because that's what we're here for. And you couldn't possibly be as ignorant of Scripture or as dumb as I was. And no one made fun of me. So what do you do with your questions? Do they always get answered? No. Do they get answered a lot? Yes. And sometimes you just have to wait. That's tough. Found that if I took my questions and put them on the shelf, eventually I could take them down because I had understanding after studying Scripture. I seemed to know something a lot more. But if you don't ask, you'll stay in the dark. And but you say, I've had nothing but pain and abuse, and I've had sexual abuse. I'd hate to tell you how epidemic, I can say it, that is today. And it's awful. This is why I support Sis. She is safe. You know, can you imagine a mother selling her infant baby girl so a man can have sex with it? You know, it's just horrible what man does. Man is sinful all the way through. that includes the ladies. So all I can say is if that you've gone through something like that, bring those crumbs to the Lord, and He'll make something out of it. And put off thinking and thinking and rethinking. You have to remember that the Lord God is the great I Am. He's ever present. So if you're back in the past all the time, you don't have the ever-present God to help you. You keep going back to that and rehearsing it and rehashing it. And God doesn't want you to do that. He'll make something out of your life. Daniel's life was really rough. Have you ever just kind of analyzed it? I'm going to do that next week. But he apparently didn't have much parental guidance. It may have been possible that he watched his parents be killed. And then he had a 900-mile walk. You know, I can't imagine walking to L.A. and back again. That would be something else. He could have said, how unfair. It was my country that caused this judgment, not me. Not the way we do it today. Does God care? Doubtful. Then they took all of us men, well, young men, and castrated us. Such pain. We'll never be married. We'll never have children. They castrated us to become slaves in the palace. Is God in this? No. I'm so bitter. I can't serve God. I don't want to serve God. Get someone else, God. And I'll just eat all the king's rich food and enjoy myself as much as I can. But Daniel didn't do that, did he? He didn't do that at all. And I thought, there's a principle there that you and I've got to grab a hold of. Because he didn't get bitter, he got better. And he didn't blame everybody, including his country, and including his family or whatever, or God especially. He took it in stride. He took all of those hard things and used them as stepping stones to know God. Now that's choice. That's a very valuable choice to put aside that past that so hurt you and move on until you've got a handle on the Lord. You know, Daniel was loved by God. Have you ever just thought about that? Why did God love him so? Well, he loved him so because he looked at his problems from God's perspective. He didn't try to stop him or put him in a different place, but he knew one thing. If his nation wasn't going to obey God, he was. And that's such a valuable choice. Once we say to the Lord, we want to obey God, it changes things. So what is your focus? Oh, my pain, I can't handle it anymore. I think I'll get this out of my closet. Now, this is my old pity pot. And I don't know if I can fit in it, but I'm not going to try. I used to fit in it. And I'd call up Mabel on the phone and tell her what a horrible life I had and that she needed to come over and feel sorry for me. But she didn't. She hung up. So why would I do such a silly thing? I did it because that's pretty much how we must look to God when we're just sitting around in our pity pot. You know? We're living in the past, not in the present I am. And that's something to think about. so much unhappiness. Well, let me tell you, there's a lot of unfair things that happen, and it is pitiful. Any mother that would sell her infant girl into prostitution is a desperate situation. Well, take a hard, long look at the cross, is what I have always said. This is unfair. This isn't right for me. This is pitiful. And then I just say, well, take a long, hard look at the cross and find one thing there that's fair. Jesus died for the sin of the world. I can't get a handle around that. That is so amazing. To think that God would die for each of us. What an amazing thought that is. Well, Daniel's thing was totally unfair. He could have complained and whined. I used to have Pat Daly's big whine, no whining button. I always wore it on the first day because that's where most of the whining would take place. But this year, it seems like it's been a lot of whining about the lessons. They're hard. They're hard. They're hard for me, so... He could have been total misery, Daniel, but he didn't. And so the Lord used him mightily. Just think about how long he lived. He must have been pushing 90 by the time the Lord took him home. That's quite a long time. It tells me, too, that we're not to, perspire. We're not to retire. Well, a little perspiration won't hurt you anyway. But horrible things happen to us. Am I surprised? Are you surprised? No, you shouldn't be. Jesus said, in the world, you will have tribulation. If you didn't have any tribulation, I would say, God doesn't love you. That's the other way to look at it. Yeah, I don't like that either. Yeah, in the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. The last thing that happened in your life were you of good cheer. Because Jesus said, I've overcome the world. What a tremendous promise. And did you notice how Daniel would get sick after his visions? But not this last one. I was waiting for him to get sick. And he didn't get sick. Why was that? Well, read verse 10. It says, many shall be purified, made white and refined, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. And I thought that was, he got a different vision of his people, not all of them, but those that are written in the book of life will see this thing coming together and they'll say, oh, the Antichrist is not our Messiah. We've got the wrong man. And turn to Christ during that time. Because remember, back in 7 and 8, they've been cornered and they're shattered unless God steps in. And it's a hard place to be, but it turned him around. So there was hope in Daniel's heart. There was hope. My people will survive. You know, every once in a while, you need to remember that Israel is a miracle. Israel is the only ancient nation that is still a nation. And you don't run into Hittites or... Moabites or Ammonites or other guys like that. But you do run into Jewish people. So the Israelites, right, except they're called Israelis today. And there's a time factor there too. He gives them that cut, time and time and a half and so on. And Daniel's reminded that is a time factor. Somehow, if you're going through pain, it's wonderful to be able to know that there's an end to it. There's something positive at the end. If we forget that, we're in bad shape. And Israel would remain a nation. Daniel figured that out, and they'd be purified. What promise is that? That's so wonderful. So, hard things happen to us, and how are you doing? Bitter or better? So ask God to heal over the past, because you don't want to live in the past. You have to choose to do that. And when you start reliving the past, you have to ask the Lord to give you a different focus and to help you. And you work on that until that is solved and resolved in your life, or you'll become really pretty bitter. And you don't want to do that. It's not this life forever. Well, the wicked continue doing wickedly. Have you ever kind of wondered about that? When we studied the book of Revelation, I remember one thing that puzzled me is that man would go through these terrible things and then he'd shake his fist at God, being angry with God for these torments. And I couldn't figure out why, but basically in their heart they were wicked and they wanted to blame God and they kept it up. Well, it's very easy to wallow around in your pity pot. My husband wanted to know why I was getting it out of the closet. I said, "That's my pity pot. I haven't been in it for years." But anyway, I want to tell you about a friend of mine that I went to school with. Her name was Bobby. And she was an only child. And in high school, her mother died of cancer. She had a wonderful little Cocker Spaniel that she adored. And her father was annoyed by the barking. So he took the dog and put it to sleep and then told his daughter that he had gotten out and got run over. So she didn't find out till later. Then shortly thereafter, her father had a heart attack. And now both her parents are gone. And there was an aunt that said, "I'll take you in." And so she went to live with the aunt, and the aunt was a roaring alcoholic. So as soon as she got out of high school, she went to UC Berkeley and joined a sorority, and things began to really look up. And then she met the man she was going to marry, and he was in law school, and he was headed to get his law degree, which he did. They got married, and they had a little boy, little baby boy, and but he started coughing up blood. And it had a wonderful future ahead of him. And he had cancer of the stomach and died shortly thereafter. Well, she met a doctor, and they got married, and she came down with cancer and had to have a double mastectomy. And on it goes. Now her husband is dying of Parkinson's and, of course, can no longer practice, but she's seeing him through. Now, I would say that's a long series, but she has a wonderful family and they love her, so a lot of good things in there. And she could concentrate on all the bad stuff, but no, much better to concentrate on what she has. Then you gals have a friend who has lost all her family. She needs our prayers because it's something you don't get over. It's something you work through. God will be with you, but it takes a long time. She lost a baby girl, and she lost her 16-year-old daughter, and she lost her 20-year-old son, and then her husband died. And they all died of something hereditary. And now she's all by herself. And you say, well, get over it. No, you don't get over that. But you learn to work with it. And it takes a while. You have something hard you're going through. Don't beat yourself up, because it takes time to get through things. And probably best not to tell too many people, because they'll just give you advice. And that may be the very last thing you need, is advice. And on it goes. I just seem to be in a place where I hear an awful lot of these kind of stories. But I've never forgotten that when Paul had a thorn in the flesh, do you remember? Nobody knows what that thorn was. Because if you knew what the thorn was, you'd say, oh, my thorn's much worse than Paul's. We're just that way. And when people are hurting, pray for them. Do nothing else. Give them a hug. Don't try to give advice. The older I've gotten, the less people need to hear from me. Just encourage. It's so much easier. Well, next week I really want to go through the life of Daniel. He has an amazing life. He has, I think, about 9 qualities that we could incorporate into our own lives. And I don't want to lose sight of that. It was so easy to get caught up with his prophecies and lose sight of the man. But amazing man, and you're going to meet him someday in heaven. What are you going to tell him or ask him? You know, how was it not getting eaten by lions? How was it eating just vegetables? You know, lots of questions. But God allowed him to live a long time so he could influence the non-believing kings. And he had a lot of them. Israel was no longer under their own rule until 1948. From Daniel's time to 1948. That's a long time. And they still have maintained their nation. They still have, not faith, but they still have their form of religion. It's amazing to me. Well, let's ask God to help us, and we'll give him all the praise. Father, I thank you for, again, this amazing man, Daniel, that wrote it down as you told him, even though he didn't always understand it. He'd ask questions, and then he'd let it be. And how much we need to be like Daniel, Lord, to look at our circumstances differently, to look at our circumstances from your point of view. And oh, how grateful I am that you are the great I am. You're ever present in our present day life. And Lord, that's where we want to live. We want to live in you today. Not next week, because you don't say, I am the great I will be. And you don't live in the past. You don't say, I am the great I was. But you are the great I am. Be the I am in our lives, Lord. Some ladies here need a lot of encouragement. Encourage their hearts, Lord. They are not alone. But I am grateful that you took the tribulation upon yourself, the horror of man's sin upon yourself, the horror of our sin upon yourself, and have given us a future and a hope. We give you all the praise today in Jesus' name. Amen. I have a question in the question box. This gal said, you stated today, if Israel ends, the church will end. No, I never said that. So, but I can see how that could be interpreted that way. I said, there's a group of believers that believe that God is through with the nation of Israel. And they have every right to believe that way, other than the fact that they keep crossing Scripture. So they say, well, you know, they crucified Christ, so God is through with them. And I have a lot of trouble with that, too, because it's our sins that crucified Christ, not just the Jews. No, the Romans were in on it every bit as much, and they were Gentiles. But I have pointed out that if God is through with Israel, then there's not much hope for the church. That is what I said, because I believe that firmly. What right do we have to call ourselves believers if God is through with Israel? So that's what I said, and if anybody has more questions on that, I'd be glad to try to explain it.